Open your Bibles with me. Let's turn to the book of 1 John. I'm going to look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to look at verses 9 and 10. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. It says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I don't know if you've ever thought about that verse, but that's really deep, especially verse 10. How John here is saying that we didn't love God, but God took the initiative to come down to us, even while we were still sinners. And, how do you tell a short testimony in 2 minutes when there's so much? I look over my life, and whether it's when I was younger and God saving me, or when I had just turned 18 years old and He drew me to Himself, or going through college and meeting Melody, or going through all the life experiences since then, I'm just absolutely amazed at how He has led me and how He has just blessed me in so many different ways. And I want to focus today on just sharing with you, you know, the little things in life that God really, really touches us, that we really don't say thank you enough for. Whether it's our jobs, the daily routines, or waking us up on time to get to those jobs, or getting us through traffic to get to those jobs. I know one time this last week, we left the house a little late, and I have to park a couple blocks away from where I actually work because I don't want to pay $100 to park there. I think it's too much. So I park on the street and then walk a couple blocks. We were running late, and I sent up a short prayer right as we were getting on Leha Street. And I said, "Get us there on time." And what's really interesting is I don't think we had a red light all the way down through Leha. Got on H1, got there. It was, and I had, I don't know, I clocked in on time, or I had a couple more minutes to spare. But just the little things in life that we just don't say thank you enough for. You know, every single day, the breath we breathe, you know, the food on our table. I just want to encourage you to think about those things and to actually, you know, send a prayer up and say thank you for that. I also want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16 very quickly. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Very familiar words of Jesus, saying, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I want to encourage you, as we have this testimony time, and even if you don't come up here and say a short little something about what's happening in your life, I want to encourage you to talk to others about your faith. You never know, someone that you are coming in contact with might need what only you can give them. God uses experiences in all of our lives so we can encourage others, and He uses us as His witness to others. So don't be afraid, you know. Talk to others as you see them going through trials. And remember a very famous quotation from Adventist history. We really have nothing to fear for the future unless we forget where God has led us in the past. And if you can tell others your experiences, it really increases their faith.
Thank you, Mark. My story is a little different, my testimony. It's not life-changing, but It was definitely a struggle in the beginning, and from it, there was a blessing and lessons learned. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, actually Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to share with you a set of texts and then tell you my testimony. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 7, 8, and 7, 8. It reads here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Now this set of texts contextually is talking about the Holy Spirit, how God does not hold back from us the special gifts that he wants to give to us if we do ask. And I think it's an important lesson for us to learn. My testimony actually begins this past week, earlier this week. I think it was either Sunday or Friday afternoon. My tenant, she gives me a call. We have a tenant living in a studio under our house, her and her teenage daughter. And she calls me up and says, Daniel, you know what? We haven't had hot water for a while. In fact, the water is just lukewarm. It's been lukewarm for quite some time. And I said, really? Well, how long has it been? She says, well, it's been about 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, you should have told me sooner. She said, well, I told your mother, and I was hoping she would tell you, but I guess she didn't. I said, no, she didn't mention anything to me. So I was like, well, I'm so sorry. Well, I'll get on this right away. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, obviously something's wrong with the water heater. Let's go find out. And, you know, as a principal, you know, as somebody who's in construction or into fixing things, the first principle of fixing something is you always start with the easier solutions first. And not because you don't want to do any work, but it's practical. You always start with the simple things. So I was thinking in my mind, okay, something's wrong with the hot water. Well, maybe it has to do with electrical. You know, maybe something at the breaker is shut off. So I went to the breaker, and I flicked the switch a couple times, and I told her, well, let's see what happens tomorrow morning, and I'll let you know. You know, you let me know if the water's come on. So she calls me the next day, nothing. So I was like, okay, well, let me get a little more involved in this. So I go under the house to the water heater, open up the panels, and there's a reset button on your water heater, if you didn't know that. And sometimes it's as simple as just pushing that little red button. So I push the little red button to reset it, and I tell her, okay, let me know tomorrow morning if there's any hot water. She calls me the next morning while I'm at work. We don't have hot water. So I'm like, oh, okay, a little more involved in that. And so my next, I guess, point to look at was maybe the heating elements on the water heater had gone bad. Now, if you don't know, a water heater has two little elements, one on the top, one on the bottom, kind of like a stove that heat up, and that's how it heats up the water. And so I said to myself, okay, maybe the heating elements have gone bad. That's not so hard to replace. You know, their heating elements are kind of cheap, you know, relatively $10 a piece. I only need two of them. So I go down there, empty out the water heater, drain it out, and I take out the two heating elements, and yes, they've gone bad. And so I'm like, okay, I have these water heating elements. It should be easy. I can go to the hardware store, pick up two more, put them back in, and bam, problem solved. Well, doesn't end there. I go to, I think it was Ace Hardware first, to see if they had heating elements. I went in there, and they didn't have the right wattage or voltage for the heating element I needed. So I said, okay, not a problem. So then I go to City Mill, which is just down the street on Wailai, from my house. If you have any idea where I'm doing, I'm just kind of going in order, you know. And City Mill, I go there, and they don't either. They don't have the same wattage or voltage. It's just different. So I'm saying to myself, wow, this is kind of tough. This is not as easy as I thought. So I go to Home Depot. Same problem. But the guy at Home Depot said, you know, it shouldn't really matter. You know, just try it out. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, just bring it back. So I'm like, okay, so I buy two from Home Depot. I get home. And I'm about to put them in, and I put them in, and I'm screwing these elements in, because they screw in, they have threads, and this heating element is not screwing in. Reason being, it's too small. What? Right? Aren't these supposed to be standard sizes? Yes, they are. For the majority of water heaters, there's a standard size, 1¼ inch thread. I look at the panel on the water heater of the brand I have, and if you have this brand, you should know this, but state water heaters make their own size thread. It's not 1¼ inch, it's 1¾ inch, just 1/8 bigger. And so I'm like, oh my. So you can start to see the frustration building up. Something that was to take just an afternoon has turned into 3 days. And it gets better. So I'm like, okay, don't have it. So I go back to Home Depot. I start talking. You guys don't have the 1¾ inch? No? Okay. And I was thinking to myself, well, where can I go next? Because I certainly, you know, want to do the elements. I don't want to change the whole water heater. And you can understand why. Elements cost $10. New water heater costs $300+. And so I was like, okay. So I decide I'll go to Sears. Maybe the person who put that water heater and got it at Sears. So I go to Sears. And Sears tells me they don't have that, so try this place called the Appliance Warehouse. which is supposed to have every little part for every type of appliance you might have, and said, okay, this is my hope. So I go there, and unfortunately they close at 4:30, so that means I have to leave work a little early to get there. And so I leave work around 2:30, you know, to fight traffic and whatnot, and I get there, and it's in the Mapunapuna area. I think so. Or actually, it's near Nimitz. And so I go to the appliance warehouse and ask them, do you have this part? And the guy says, no, I'm sorry, we don't. We have only inch and a quarter size and only this voltage and wattage, not the same one. So I was like, okay, do you have a suggestion? Well, to make a long story short, he tells me to go to a place a little farther down Nimitz. So I go there, and they tell me, no, it's been 2 years since the supplier has stopped supplying parts to us. So he said, try this other store. So I go to another store, and I go to another store, and I go to another store. Finally, I've gone to four, I think I counted six stores, six or seven, whatever. It's been a lot. And this was Wednesday night, and I was, or Wednesday afternoon, and I was getting quite frustrated. So finally I had this idea in my mind. I thought this was going to be the ace in the hole. Earlier that week I had called in the phone book Appliance Warehouse. They have two locations, one off Nimitz and one in YPO Gentry. And the guy at YPO said, we have the right wattage and right voltage of water heating element. So I said to myself, okay, maybe I'll try there. This will be the last hope. And I'll be honest with you. It was 3:30, and I was in the Mapunapuna area. And when I called the other store, they said, okay, yeah, we're in YPO Gentry. We close at 4:30. And so I was like, oh, my. Am I going to do this? Am I going to jump in my car, fight traffic on H1 West, get on H2 to try to get this water heating element? And it, unfortunately, maybe this is a positive attribute of mine, maybe it's not, but I don't like to give up. I'm like, I've invested already 3 days and a number of hours. I've left work early for this water heating element. I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish it. And at the same time, I was like, Lord, help me. Have mercy. So I drive out to YPL Gentry to the store, and I give the guy the water heating element. He's like, yeah, we have this wattage voltage. He brings it out. And I look at it and say, you know, you got to be careful sometimes. The size on the threads can be different. And he's like, oh, okay, well, let's do it. So we bust out our measuring tapes, and we're looking. And sure enough, it's the wrong size. State Water Heater Company has pulled out of Hawaii completely. So if you have that water heater, just be sure you take note of that. There's no parts. And so I was completely frustrated. 4:30, YPO Gentry. Now I have to drive back into town with the traffic. And I'm just completely devastated. And it was at that point that I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this? I was upset. I was really upset. I was like, man, you know, I don't want to have to buy a new water heater. And I said, Lord, what should I do? I was seeking the will of God at this point. And I think the greater lesson is this, right? What do you do when you start seeking the will of God in your life? Maybe it's about water heaters. Maybe it's something greater. What do you do? I didn't give up. I kept trying, kept trying, looking for different options, ways to do it. But finally, I think God's voice spoke to me. And I finally figured out what God wanted me to do. I had two options actually left. Go online, order from the mainland two heating elements from State Water Heater, or just go and buy a new one. And the question came down to me, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is your will at this point? I asked. I had been seeking. Now I was knocking. I said, Lord, I kind of surrendered at this point. I said, okay, what is more important? Me saving some money or actually being a good steward and providing for my patient, very patient tenant, the hot water that she's been paying for and deserves? And I said, Lord, okay, fine. I understand what you want. I'll go and buy a water heater. And I sucked it up. And Thursday night, I knew I needed some help because water heaters, you know, although they aren't very heavy, they're just big items. They're kind of bulky. I said, well, I need help with this, Lord. Who should I call? Who should help me? And I was thinking about it. And Chad Stewart, I don't know if you know him. He's a youth in our church here. I said, well, maybe Chad would help me out. So I called him up Thursday night, and Chad was more than happy. He's like, yeah, I'll help you out. What time? I said, well, let's try, you know, 4:35 or something. And he's like, okay. So after work yesterday, I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm gonna buy this water heater. So I pick up Chad. We go down to Home Depot, come back to my house, take out the old one, put in the new one. And you know what? I'll just be honest with you. It was easy. Things went smoothly. You know, there weren't little hiccups or problems. We just took it up, put the new one in, wired it up, tied up all the copper fittings, turned on the breaker. Hot water. The lesson I learned from this Sometimes we're seeking for God's will in our life. Sometimes we want to know, Lord, what purpose do you have for me? First lesson, don't give up. Keep searching. Keep looking. Keep trying every avenue. Next lesson. Sometimes God's will for your life is not your first choice. That's just, I think, obvious. But the next thing is more important. We have to become willing to accept what God would have us to do. And I think that's the most challenging thing. Yesterday, or actually Thursday night, I accepted God's will for my tenant and the hot water situation. Just buy a new hot water heater. And I praise God I did. Because you know what? When I was done yesterday afternoon, I dropped off Chad and at home, I just felt really good. Things were at peace now. Things were all right now. And I just thank God for that, because I think that can happen in all of our lives if we take those lessons. Ask, seek, knock. God will answer. Amen? Thank you.
So when the Holy Spirit moves Daniel, he just punches it out there and gets the message out. I've been asking God to tell me what he wanted me to say. You know, let the Holy Spirit work through me. When Curtis asked me this morning, because whoever was supposed to do this could not do it, so while I was standing out there greeting, I've been asking the Holy Spirit to kind of guide me in this morning. And what he's been telling me is that he's been pointing me to Isaiah. So I'm if you have your Bibles, the book of Isaiah chapter 6 is God's call to Isaiah, and how God cleansed Isaiah to get him ready to be a servant. And the reason that I wanted to bring that up, because if you met me, some of you who have been following my walk with Jesus, 1 year ago today, I wasn't even smiling a year ago today. I was walking in darkness. But for some reason, God has kind of been focusing me on the book of Isaiah. He won't let me stop reading it. He keeps on bringing me back to the book of Isaiah. And I actually was on the first 9 chapters for 2 weeks, and I kept asking God, why do you want me to read this over and over and over again? And it always came back to chapter 6, because I could never read the Bible before. I'd never read the Bible until I came to this church. I was never able to focus. And when you look at chapter 6, on verse 9, after God cleanses Isaiah and Isaiah volunteers himself to be his servant, he said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And I was wondering why God wanted me to read this over and over and over again, and I realized the other week it's because that's me. That's who Adrian Sanders was before I came to this church. I could never read the Bible. Every time I tried to open the book and try to read something, it was just a blur of words. And some of you know that I'm an attorney, so I can read anything, but I could not read the Bible. And this has been a kind of a puzzle to me, but I think that when I accepted Jesus Christ and I let him be the Lord and Savior of my life, Pastor Lyle, who met with me once a week for 6 months, he said, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. God's going to clean you up. You don't have to do anything. Just keep reading. So his instruction to me was keep reading, keep reading. And I told him how hard it was, but he said keep reading. And he said the Holy Spirit will take care of everything. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes and start having you understand. And it took me probably 4 months before I finally, Pastor Lyle, I finally told him, I think I got it. I think I understand what I'm reading now. And I had somebody to bounce off, ask questions of. And the changes that have been happening in my life, I am able to honestly say that it's because of the people in this church. I have visited many, many churches during my lifetime trying to find the right one. The people in this church are very special, and the senior citizens in this church are filled with this joy I could never explain. I go to other places, and some of you know I go and I still go to New Hope and visit, and I go to their sermons, and I tell everybody, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. But the people at New Hope have been noticing the changes in me, and they ask me, "Are you in love?" I have a lot of people coming up to me asking me, "Are you in love? Because you're just glowing." And it's taken me a while to figure out and I finally said, "Yes, I am." And I have some people asking me, "Do you have a man in your life?" And I'm like, at the beginning I started saying no, and then I realized, well, yes. And so now when people ask me that, I said, well, yes, there's a man in my life. His name is Jesus Christ. And yes, I am in love. And yes, I'm in love with Jesus Christ. And I found that that's the best testimony. I don't have as many people asking me, "Are you in a cult?" Because when I first started coming to this church, I didn't understand why people asked me that question. I don't think it matters what church you're in. It depends on who is responding to you. And I understood for myself why I love Jesus. In the book of John, which we started studying in my first month of coming to this church, on midweek we started, well, I think they were ending with some story about Moses, and I started when we started the book of John, and Daniel did chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. So I remembered that. And in chapter 15, it talks about the vine and the branches. It also talks about the joy. And for each one of you that I have followed, especially Alice Arakaki, I watched her when I first started coming to this church the first 3 weeks. I had Jerry came up to me. I don't know Jerry's last name, but she knows who she is. All of these senior citizens who came up to me and just welcomed me, gave me hugs, and talked to me. And I said, wow, I've never met senior citizens who are so happy. And in the book of John, on chapter 15, Jesus explains, what it means to have the vine and the branches. And I would love to see, I pray every morning and I ask Jesus to let his light shine through me so that when I go out in public, when I go to work, that his light will shine through me. And that's what I see in the members of this church. So from chapter 15, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And those three verses, that's what I see in this church. That's why I chose to be baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist, because I truly believe that this church is the... I don't know if it's a secret. This church has a way of exuding Jesus' love. It's in every person I meet. And for someone my age, it's wonderful to see that. And I would love, when Curtis mentioned that we need to have the rest of our community see it, I think all it takes is for us to walk outside and let people see what we do. And that we all love Jesus, and that's all that's important to us. So I hope that was inspirational. Thank you. Amen.
Okay. I was very touched by the speakers here, and I want to share also my experience. I was also really touched by what Julia shared in her children's story, because that does play a big part in what I have to share about people helping each other. And I could really relate to Daniel, because that's sort of what I went through. And I am grateful for Adrian sharing and Mark sharing, because they're all blessings all over the place. Well, the incident with me had to do with a water leak in my studio, which was the ceiling of the bath. And it was very trying for me because I thought it wouldn't be as difficult as it turned out to be. First person I went to was a resident manager, and she says, oh no, I can't get involved, I can get sued. So I was at a loss, and I called the management company, and they go, no, that's an individual thing, unit to unit. So I go, okay, now the last thing I could think of was association president. Oh yeah, you know, talk to the resident manager, she'll help you. So I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. And then the next day, he calls me back, no, she can't help you. You know, it's the unit to unit thing. So I thought, oh my goodness, I have a leak and no one's going to help me. So I started calling around places, and the association president said, well, you know, you can call this place for mediation. So I called the person upstairs. They don't want to mediate. Okay, so I'm on my own. And then I talked to someone in real estate and said, okay, he'll help me. But when he found out it was a leak and the attorneys, you know, they don't really want to get involved because it was a small cost. And I said, well, it's a small cost to them, but it's a big thing for me. But I couldn't get anything done. So in the nick of time, my real estate person came and visited my unit. And as we were in the elevator, I was talking and saying, I don't know what to do. Boom, it was there by divine intervention that the association president was in that elevator. So I told the association president, you know, how can I get this thing resolved if the person above me will not open her unit? You know, I'm willing to pay for a plumber, but she has to open her unit for that person to come in. And that made all the difference right there. So then he called the resident manager, and then she started helping me, and then she became my best friend. So I would think everything after that would go smoothly, but the people upstairs was very, very hesitant. They refused to pay. And so they made it very difficult. They kept postponing and postponing and postponing. So the leak started in June, and they came twice, the plumber, so we thought that would have fixed everything. But 3 months later, it leaked again. So here we are into October. And with the holidays, I knew that was going to be even harder because everyone's so busy. Then later on, I thought, okay, I'll think of who else I can call. So I called around some more, and someone suggested, there's a state ombudsman, give them a call. I called, and that they said, no, that's not going to work in your case. So then I thought, okay, my resident manager suggested, you just got to get an attorney. I said, an attorney? Oh, dear, that's going to be so costly. But I needed to get something done, and I thought, well, okay, you know, if God is that's your will, I'll go that route. So I called an attorney, and the secretary there told me in a soft, gentle voice, she said, if it's just a leak, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Just talk. Just go and talk it out. It'll work out fine. And I said to her, but we've been talking for a long time, and it's not fine. So then I started to pray and pray about it. Then the contractor who worked at trying to cover up a hole, he came one day, and by mistake, he forgot to bring a little piece to cover up that hole. But I felt it was divine intervention because I thought, I'm going to leave that hole open in case there's any more leaks after October. So I put paper on top, folded paper with all these lines. So in case there's a leak, the line would get blurred. So I sought the help of the contractor later on. So I told the contractor, can you write her a note? So they wrote a note saying that, okay, you haven't responded, so we're just going to assume that it's been fixed. If anything else happens, it's going to be your problem and the management problem. But they still didn't move on that. Then I called my insurance company, and they said, oh, no, we don't take care of that. We'll take care of the cost to fix it, but we don't handle the plumbing. So I was lost. I kept calling church members, please pray for me. I came to this midweek meeting, please pray for me. And then finally I heard someone say to someone in my small head said, try call Action Line. I called Action Line, and they said, well, you know what? Since they said, the people upstairs, they said it's not their expertise and it's the management fault, you just write them a letter and say to management company saying that the unit above is saying it's a management company, so take it from there. And I sat down there, and I said to myself, you know, I don't want to cause enemies with the person upstairs, so I'm just going to let it go. And I don't care already what happened. So that was total surrender right there. I said, whatever happens, if it's going to leak, it's going to leak, and I'll just foot the bill because it was just going nowhere. Then come January 23, I called the resident manager, and she said, oh, they're going to come. They're going to have a plumber come. Okay, so I said, can you find out who the contractor is? Because I want to make sure they come because, you know, she's been always giving me the runaround. They'll come, they don't come, they'll come, they won't come. So, and then the next day, the resident manager said, well, she wouldn't give me the card. So I said, okay, it's probably just a handyman, because I did see a red truck out there. February, I called the resident manager. No, she still didn't give me the card. March, I said, did she give you a card? No, but I did talk to the contractor. The contractor? Oh, he came? Yeah, it's fixed. Okay, praise God. So I had a big smile on my face. The next time I went to midweek meeting saying, it's done. And we're talking in March. It was a long haul. So my whole thing in this is just be patient and pray and ask and seek and knock. And that, just don't give up, because I guess in God's time, everything will work out.
Time is moving on, so I'll make this short. This is not about me. It's about the Aloha spirit is live and well in Hawaii. one of my clients happens to work for the lunch wagon up in Diamond Head Crater, and they cater to all the tourists who hike Diamond Head. And he gets tourists from all over the world. And they sell water, shave ice, hamburgers, hot dogs, smoothies. And he likes his job, and he likes meeting the tourists. And he just happened to say to me, you know, when the tourists come and they've only got credit cards, we just give them the water and the shave ice. And I said, you do? He said, yeah, we don't have a thing for credit cards, and they're thirsty, and we don't want them to get dehydrated. So we just give them the water and the shave ice for the kids. And I said, that is so nice. I said, you know, I really think I should write a letter to the newspaper about that. That's really sweet. And so he was on a roll then. He said, oh, yeah, and we have hats, too. We let men that are bald have hats so they won't get sunburned. We have sunscreen for the kids. He said, we can't sell it because we're only licensed for food. I said, wow, that's nice. He said, yeah, and we've got Band-Aids for those that get cuts and scrapes. And I said, why, you think of everything. He said, yes. And, you know, when they ask us directions, oh, where's Hanama Bay? Where's Polynesian Cultural Center? Where's Pearl Isle? Up from the computer. And we give them the map. Here, this is how you go. And I said, wow, you guys are so thoughtful. And he said, yes. And they like to take photos of the red cardinals. So we buy 50-pound bags of birdseed and give them in the little cup so they can feed the red cardinals and take their photos. I said, wow, you think of everything. And he said, yeah, and when they come through the tunnel and they have to put their headlights on, they forget to turn their headlights off. So we have jumper cables so we can help jumpstart their cars. I said, wow, you guys are incredible. And then he just happened to go on, and then he said, something about, and if they want vegetarian hamburgers, we just keep the burger on the side, and we just give them the vegetable. I said, oh. He said, yeah, we kind of like to have vegetarian ones on the menu. So I said, well, I can tell you a store where you can get grillers in bulk. And so I gave him the address of the ABC store. So, Rod, if anybody ever comes in there wanting grillers in bulk that you don't recognize, it's the people from the lunch wagon in Diamond Head. And they have a really true Aloha spirit. Thank you.
There's been a lot of talk about water, and I just know that I don't want to be lukewarm. I came to Hawaii in 68, and I have gone through the spiritual warfare here and the marriage of the Lamb. Hallelujah. When you get married, you get a ring as a symbol of your union. And the Bible says that we will all have crowns. Well, a crown is a ring also. And that the early Jews had to walk for 40 years in a circle before they could get to the Holy Land. Israel, all that is real. And 40 years in a circle is a pretty long time. And I think it happened for we down the line could look back and ask, why do they have to go in a circle? What is the meaning of the circle? Do you know that on the Shroud of Turin, Lord Jesus' marks of the scourge are all imprinted on it? It only penetrates the shroud halfway through the thread, not all the way. And on his forehead is a three. And we would think of it as a number, but actually, in all the languages which come from God, that three in the first language, which is Sanskrit, is a letter. And that letter is O. It's a circle or a ring. Now, in 1975, I got on my knees after reading the passage, John 17, 4, 5, and 6. And Jesus says he gave his word, his name, his law to his disciples, and they loved it and they kept it. And he lost none of them because they weren't lukewarm. And I don't want to be lukewarm either. So I said to the Lord in prayer, on my knees, I am also a disciple, and I would ask you now to let me receive of this truth which you gave to your disciples. And I heard a holy sound, like crystal, like a ring. And I heard him whisper to me, love it above all things and never leave it. Now that word is engrafted in our hearts as Christians. But we have the opportunity in this lifetime to receive it of him and to identify with it instead of a number, which you're asked so much, do you have your identity, and you pull out a card with a number on it, you know? And that's not my identity. My identity is the holy name of Jesus, and that is the great I am, so that I can say and affirm, I am that I am, and I praise Jesus for all he's done for us, so that we have this opportunity. Thank you.
I have a little funny part to say. Last night, I didn't sleep well. I was up until 3 in the morning, and so I took some extra sleeping medicine. And when it was time to go to church this morning, get up at 9 o'clock, I was very sleepy, and I says, I guess I'm not going to go to church today. And at 10 o'clock, I was wide awake, and so I says, well, God must have a blessing for me at church, and I want the blessing, and I decided to leave, and I went to the bus, and the bus that I normally rode in came driving by with a sign that says not in service because he was late, so he just bypassed us and let us sit to the next bus. And I was going, gosh, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to really be late. And the bus didn't come until about 20 after 11. And then I was walking down the street here, and it was raining, and I was thinking, God have mercy on me. And the rain stopped and the cloud came clear, and I came in the church and I heard Mr. Zane talking about people giving testimonies, and I just felt, I guess I'm here for a reason. I'm a doctor and I'm an inventor, and I have patents pending on a nuclear reactor technology for energy and explosive technology for control of hurricanes. And about 2 months ago, I needed to submit a reapplication of my patent, and that was going to cost about $1,000, which I didn't have. And I've been praying for funds to come, and a few investors invested money in my company, and the funds were there, and now it's getting to the point of where I'm going to need to build a research laboratory. And Sunshine, she's in the church here somewhere, prayed with me, and she had prayed with me last fall about the money coming at the right time. And yesterday, a friend said, you know, I let someone read your paper, and he's real serious about it. And I met this guy yesterday, and he says he knows some people that have a lot of money, and he's going to go out and raise money for this company. And so people are coming to me and saying, we want to invest in this. We believe what you're doing. I'm not saying that these are the right people. I need to have godly people working with me, and I ask that you pray that that take place. But it looks like that where I was afraid that I might not be able to get my patents filed just because of a small amount of fees, those fees came in the time the patent application got finished, within the time deadline. And it's just like each little step as I continue to pray, it seems like God is keeping his part. And I told Mr. Zane I wouldn't go more than 2 minutes, so I hope I haven't done that.
What great stories, what great testimonies. Thank you very much. Now, I know that, you know, you've read those surveys where next to dying, speaking in public is the second greatest fear of everybody. So I really appreciate that. And I know that many of you have so many other testimonies, but don't feel to come up. But I know that how people have said, we see it every day in just how you live your lives and how you are kind to one another. I think that's one of the greatest things. I just want to thank you all again, and why don't we stand for our closing hymn, 435.